Warner Brothers Blue and Gold Shield, a Warner Communications company. A full moon hangs in a starry sky. Warner Brothers presents a Hughes Entertainment production. A cartoon sleigh pulled by reindeer passes in front of the moon. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Chevy Chase, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. In the sleigh, Santa looks at a list of names. All have ticks beside them except the Griswolds. Beverly D'Angelo, Randy Quaid. At the Griswolds, Santa falls to the ground as he tries to step from his sleigh onto a snowy roof. Miriam Flynn, William Hickey, Mae Questel, Diane Ladd, John Rudolph, E.G. Marshall, Doris Roberts. Santa tiptoes over to a snowman and picks up a stone which has fallen from the big white man's tummy. He replaces it and the snowman topples over. Juliette Lewis, Johnny Galecki. Casting by Risa Bramon, Billy Hopkins, Heidi Levitt, costume designer Michael Kaplan, music by Angelo Badalamenti, editors Jerry Greenberg, Michael Stevenson. Santa squeezes down the chimney but his sack gets stuck. Production designer Stephen Marsh, director of photography Thomas Ackerman. The chimney stack breaks as Santa frees himself and lands in the hearth. His sack lands on him, followed by a brick. Santa accidentally hits a switch, turning on the fire and burning himself. He spots the Christmas tree and stacks the presents underneath it. Executive producer, Matty Simmons. A light comes on upstairs in the house and Santa uses a wireless candy cane to radio to his reindeer. Written by John Hughes. Seeing the skylight, Santa bounces on a sofa trying to reach it, but crashes through the roof. He catches onto a line of lights with his candy cane and slides down it. Produced by John Hughes and Tom Jacobson. Directed by Jeremiah Chekik. Santa clings on behind the sleigh as it passes back across the moon. A grimy estate car travels along a wide road flanked by snow-carpeted countryside. Behind the wheel of the estate car is Clark Griswold, a dark-haired, bespectacled man in his early 40s. Next to him is Ellen Griswold, an attractive blonde woman of a similar age. In the back of the car are two children, Russell, a chubby-faced boy of about 13, and Audrey, a girl of about 16, with her blonde curly hair sticking out under a black beret. The adults sing enthusiastically. In Christ
the Lord. That was beautiful.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel,
fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Hey, the yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Take it, Russ. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Dad, can you explain again what we're doing?
Sure, Russ. We're kicking off our fun old-fashioned family Christmas by heading out into the country in the old front-wheel drive sleigh to embrace the frosty majesty of the winter landscape and select that most important of Christmas symbols.
We're not driving all the way out here so you can get one of those stupid ties with the Santa Clauses on it, are we, Dad?
No, I have one of those at home. What we're looking for today is the Griswold family Christmas tree.
They motor on. A pickup truck appears on the road behind them.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry
Christmas and a happy... What's the matter?
Ellen looks round at the truck.
Slow down and let him pass.
Clark glances in the rearview mirror. The truck stays near their bumper, naked women on its rear mud flaps. There are two unkempt-looking men in the cab. The truck moves round them.
Clark! Don't provoke them!
As the kids and Ellen look the other way, the truck cuts in front of the Griswolds and slows. Clark brakes sharply and the estate car swerves dramatically. The passenger in the truck looks round and laughs.
Clark! Slow down!
You want to ride behind somebody who does something like that? I'm going to pull around him and leave him safely behind us. Burn some dust here. Eat my rubber.
Dad, I think what you mean is burn rubber and eat my dust.
Whatever, Russ, whatever.
Clark moves around the truck, pulling alongside it.
Eat my rug, red liver lips!
Ellen smiles sweetly at the guys in the truck and ducks down.
Okay, that's enough of that.
The truck and an articulated lorry are now both behind the Griswolds' car.
Speaking of Christmas trees, kids, can one of you tell me what the first kind of tree displayed at the White House was?
Dad, they're back.
As the truck pulls alongside the estate car, Clark accelerates away.
Clark, stop it! I don't want to spend the holidays dead.
Honey, please, I'll do the driving, okay? Will you just take it easy, Ellen? I'm in complete control.
The truck pulls ahead.
Get around this egg timer.
Ellen and Russ stare wide-eyed as the lorry pulls alongside them.
Dad?
Oblivious, Clark pulls out, ending up under the lorry, one set of giant wheels ahead of them, the other behind. Ellen's eyes bulge. Clark looks terrified.
We're all right! Thank God we're all right!
Clark, we're stuck under a truck!
Do you honestly think I don't know that?
Come on, you guys, don't fight!
I didn't do this on purpose!
Above them, a heavy load of huge tree trunks.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And forgive my husband. He knows not what he does.
Amen!
Clark swerves out from under the lorry.
Oh my God!
There's a snowplow up ahead. Clark veers off the road, speeding up a mound of snow like a ramp and through the air. The estate car crashes into a sign saying trees and skids to a stop in a snowy section of a car park.
Made pretty good time.
Clark puts his glasses back on as his disgruntled family rearrange themselves. Later, they plod through snow towards a forest.
Dad, didn't they invent Christmas tree lights so people wouldn't have to drive all the way out to nowhere and waste a whole Saturday?
They invented them, Russ, because people forgot how to have a fun, old-fashioned family Christmas and are satisfied with scrawny, dead, overpriced trees that have no special meaning.
My toes are numb.
You see, kids, this is what our forefathers did.
I can't feel my leg.
They walked out into the woods, they picked out that special tree, and they cut it down with their bare hands.
Mom, I can't feel my hips.
Clark.
Yes, honey?
Audrey's frozen from the waist down.
That's all part of the experience, honey.
Clark suddenly stops.
There it is.
In a snowy clearing, a single pine tree stands lit in a golden shaft of light cast from the heavens. Mouth agape, Clark hastens through the knee-deep snow towards the tree and stands staring up at it. His bedraggled family trudge after him.
The Griswold family Christmas tree.
They join Clark and gaze up at the towering tree.
Isn't it a little big?
It's not big, it's just full.
Dad, that thing wouldn't fit in our yard.
Not going in our yard, Russ. It's going in our living room.
A purple-faced Audrey's teeth chatter. Clark puts his arms around Ellen and Audrey.
Look at it.
It really is beautiful, Clark.
Something else, huh, Russ?
Yeah, Dad.
Isn't it beautiful, Audrey?
She'll see it later, honey. Her eyes are frozen.
Most enduring traditions of the season are best enjoyed in the warm embrace of kith and kin.
Ellen smiles.
The three are the thimble of the spirit of the Griswold family Christmas.
Russ frowns.
Dad, did you bring a saw?
Clark's face falls. Later, the huge tree is tied to the roof of the estate car. It stretches over the windscreen, its tip dangling over the road at the front of the car. The tree's roots, still clogged with earth, obliterate the rear windscreen. A residential street with large snow-covered houses. A silver saloon car drives along the slush-covered road and, putting on its indicator, turns left into a driveway. Lying on the front lawn of the neighbouring house is the Griswolds' giant tree. The owners of the silver saloon car, Todd Chester with slicked back brown hair and his wife Margot with black curly hair, get out of the car.
Looks like the toad overestimated the height of his living room ceiling.
The Griswolds' automatic garage door slowly opens, revealing Clark wearing a Jason-style Friday the 13th hockey mask and holding a chainsaw. He steps out, holding the chainsaw aloft.
Hey, Griswold! Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you. You've got a lot of nerve talking to me like that, Griswold.
I wasn't talking to you.
Todd looks nervously at Margot. Having lifted his mask, Clark smiles before lowering it again. He then raises the saw in the air and the couple hurry indoors. Later inside the Griswolds, the tree touches the ceiling and its branches are bound up with rope. Ellen.
Clark? Do you think there's enough room for the angel?
Oh, sure, honey. I have a little more trimming to do, but that won't be a problem. Ready? I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
Clark cuts the rope with a pair of shears. The branches burst out, smashing a window and engulfing Clark.
A lot of sap in here. It looks great. A little full. A lot of sap.
Later, Ellen and Clark are in bed. Clark takes a flyer out of his magazine and it gets stuck to his finger. He waves his hand around. Finally it falls and Ellen wearily moves it to one side. Now trying to turn a page in the magazine, Clark's finger gets stuck on it and he rips the page out. Part of it is glued to his thumb. Ellen takes it and it gets stuck to her hand. She gets rid of it.
Did I tell you I talked to my mother today?
And?
They've decided they're coming for Christmas too. You know, it's not too late to change our plans.
No, that's great. It's great.
She glances at him.
I think you're forgetting how difficult it's going to be having everybody in the house at the same time.
Honey, they're family. They're not strangers off the street.
All they do is argue.
Christmas is about resolving differences and seeing through the petty problems of family life.
Yeah. And it's about my mother accusing your mother of buying cheap hot dogs and your mother accusing my mother of waxing her upper lip and then they don't speak to
each other.
Your
mother waxes her upper lip?
She has for years.
Doesn't show.
I don't know, Sparky. I just have this feeling.
Ellen,
that it's not gonna...
I want to have Christmas here in our house. It means a lot to me. All my life I've wanted to have a big family Christmas. Mm-hmm.
She holds his hand. He sighs ruefully.
It's just that I know how you build things up in your mind, Sparky. You set standards that no family event can ever live up to.
What have I ever done that?
Ellen looks at him.
Parties, weddings,
right,
anniversaries,
honey.
Funerals.
One hand stuck to her hair, the other to the lamp.
Vacations, graduations.
Morning. A door on an advent calendar is opened. It's December the 14th. A huge Christmas tree, beautifully decorated, stands between looming office blocks. In an office, a suited clerk makes himself a coffee in a Taz novelty cup. A colleague with dark, thick hair stands nearby with his own cup of coffee.
Guess you'll be looking at a nice fat Christmas bonus this year, huh? Word is you're an excellent choice to be named Food Additive Designer of the Year. Not kidding. So what's that new thing you got over there at Food and Drug?
Oh, the Crunch Enhancer? Yeah, it's a... non-nutritive cereal varnish. It's semi-permeable. It's not osmotic. What it does is it coats and seals the flake, prevents the milk from penetrating it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful product.
I like it, yeah.
The big question is, what are you going to do with that big bonus check? You're going to blow it on yourself, I hope.
Me? Heck no. Take a look at this.
Clark puts down his coffee and takes a leaflet for Marsh Pools out of his jacket pocket.
I just hope my Christmas bonus check will cover it.
Oh, my God, you're putting in a pool.
Several men, all wearing dark suits and highly polished shoes, stride along a corridor. The man leading the way has a receding hairline and a white moustache. Clark.
I went ahead and I put a $7,500 deposit down on it.
You're the last true family man.
The moustachioed man approaches.
Mark?
Mm. Clark.
He's looking at the dark-haired man.
That's Bill, sir.
Are you the one who was working on that non-nutritive cereal varnish?
Yes, sir.
I've got to give a speech to a trade group. I'd like to mention it. Write up a brief summary and have it to me by the end of the day.
My pleasure.
Layman's terms.
Yes, sir.
Clark's boss nods approvingly at Clark, then moves past him.
Oh, Mrs. Shirley, we got your Christmas card the other day, and my family and I are very flattered that you remembered us. Corporate cards.
Mr. Shirley eyes one of his team, who squirms.
Don't forget that report, Bill.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass.
Out in the town, a band play in a pretty little square. Passers-by put coins in a pot. The streets are full of shoppers. In a large department store, decorations adorn every counter. Credit cards and cash change hands in a flurry. Clark is in the underwear department, staring at some bras on display. A sexy brunette in a low-cut top approaches him.
Can I show you something?
Clark looks up, his eyes widening. Clark looks nervous.
I was just smiling. I was just browsing.
For your wife or your girlfriend?
He gazes at the assistant.
What? What happened?
He picks up a pair of lacy panties and uses them to mop his brow.
I guess it wouldn't be any... Wouldn't be the Christmas shopping season if the stores were any less hotter than they are. Whew, it is warm in here.
Well, you have your coat on.
Yes. Oh, do I? How did that happen?
Because it's cold out.
Yes. Yes. It is. It's a bit nipply out. I mean nippy out. What did I say? Nipple? There is a nip in the air, though.
Can I take something out for you?
She looks bemused as he lifts his hands, chuckling uncontrollably.
I was just looking at something for my wife. God rest her soul.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, no, she's not dead. We're just divorced. She's history. And obviously she doesn't wear underwear. And there are plenty of shopping days left until adulthood, which is to say Christmas, as in Yule log. Not a log. I don't have a log, but I mean, you know, just if I had a log, not in the sense that you think I said I did. Oh, good golly. 'Tis the season to be merry.
Well, that's my name.
Ross is making his way through the crowded store, carrying a bag and looking around him a little lost. He spots his father with the sexy underwear assistant. She's holding a basque with suspenders up against her shapely body. Ross shakes his head and heads over. The assistant holds up a pair of skimpy knickers, then lifts her skirt, revealing stockings and her bare hip.
Look, I'm wearing something similar. See? You can't see the line.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
Clark suddenly stares in horror at his son. Later, back at home, It's a Wonderful Life is on the TV. Ross is on the sofa watching it. Ellen is writing cards at the kitchen table. Ellen looks up. In her room listening to music, Audrey's shoulders sink. Russ sits up frowning. In the bathroom, Clark is trying on his white Santa beard. He lowers the beard. The front door remains closed. Beyond it, a commotion. Clark opens the door. Outside are two sets of elderly couples arguing.
Folks! Folks! Merry Christmas!
Forcing smiles, they pile inside. Ellen's strong-jawed father Art, his wife Frances with curly orange hair, Clark Sr. wearing a flat cap, and his bespectacled wife Nora.
Look at how big you got!
Everyone gets kisses and hugs. Nora plays a childish game with her son.
Knock on the door.
You know, they took a pint of fluid out of my lower back.
You see this mole? Yeah. This mole in my neck? Uh-huh. You think it's changing color?
No. Well, you keep touching it, it's getting redder.
I got hemorrhoids. Can you believe that?
A mother.
Isn't that terrible?
You're not getting the garage space.
You did my own. I'm doing the parking. Russ, you want to help me?
They're not sleeping in my room. I want to go crazy.
So here, sweetheart. Your grandma Nora's got a real painful burr on my heel.
And if you rub it for me, I'll give you a whole quarter.
Okay? A quarter.
And I'll give Audrey a quarter too, Audrey.
Clark's bombarded by both fathers. Clark and Ellen are alone in the hall.
This is what Christmas is all about. I'll park the cars and check the luggage and I'll be outside for a season.
We're going to have the best looking house in town, Russ. I've always wanted to do this.
It's a lot of lights, Dad.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a lot of work too, but if I'm out in the cold and I'm committed to decorating the house, I'm going to do it right. And I'm gonna do it big. You want something you can be proud of, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sure you do.
I think you might be overdoing it, Dad.
Russ, when was the last time I overdid anything?
Russ looks up at his father and sighs with a half smile.
Come on, unravel these.
Christmas lights.
You have to check every bulb. Oops, got a little knot here. Work on that.
Clark passes Russ a huge bundle of them.
I'll get the other box.
Russ frowns as his father goes back into the garage. Next door, Todd and Margot Chester come out of their house. Margot, her hair piled on her head, is wearing shades. They see Clark next door extending his ladder.
I hope he falls and breaks his neck.
I'm sure he'll fall, but I don't think we're lucky enough to have him break his neck.
Clark tilts the ladder against the roof.
Let's go.
The sneering Chesters go as Clark starts to climb the ladder towards the snow-blanketed roof. In his teeth, Clark holds the end of the Christmas lights, the rest trailing behind him. Clark looks down. He drops the lights from his teeth and the top part of the ladder slides down, landing him back on the ground. Clark looks around him. Inside, there's a parade on TV.
Appear to be playing havoc with that giant nutcracker float. At this point, I can't even see the nuts. They must have blown away.
Clark Sr. and Art are fast asleep in front of it.
Oh, here they are. Here come the nuts. This is one giant nut to me.
Nora's trying to decorate a gingerbread house as Francis sits smoking beside her. Francis reaches across Nora with the remote and turns up the TV. Outside, Clark is back up the ladder, which wobbles precariously. He uses a staple gun to fix the lights in place under the eaves. Getting a little tangled up, Clark staples his shirt to the roof. Oblivious, he continues to fix the lights in place. As he tries to pull back, he realizes that he's stuck. Clark puts the staple gun in a pocket and tries to pull his arm free. He tugs hard, the line of fairy lights held in his teeth. He pulls hard and his sleeve rips off. The ladder tips backwards and Clark, still clinging to the ladder, hits a tree. He propels himself back towards the house by pushing against the tree with his foot, but the impact as the ladder makes contact with the roof causes him to swing round, ending up on the wrong side of the ladder. He clings on, trying to find a way back round. In the kitchen, Audrey angrily peels a carrot.
Would it be indecent to ask the grandparents to stay at a hotel?
Audrey.
Well, can we at least forbid them to answer the phone? Alexander called this morning and Grandpa Clark told him I couldn't come to the phone because I was going to the bathroom.
We're all making sacrifices, Audrey.
Everybody? Do you sleep with your brother? Do you know how sick and twisted that is, Mom?
Well, I'm sleeping with your father. Don't be so dramatic.
I have nightmares about what he does in his bed alone when I'm not lying right next to him.
Well, I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and... we're all in misery.
Ellen lights a cigarette.
Ellen, are you smoking again?
No!
Night. Russ plods onto the front lawn with a large model reindeer under each arm. Clark's now kneeling on the roof, still stapling.
Ow!
Clark sucks his finger. Russ looks up.
Hey, Dad, where do you want these reindeer?
Just put them down there in the lawn, Russ.
Russ drops them grumpily.
Can't find the Santa Claus.
In the basement. Get it later.
Russ's shoulders sink and he turns and walks away. Clark is fixing the lights all the way across the roof. The unstapled lights are tangled around his foot, which he shakes trying to get rid of them. He continues with his stapling, then shakes his legs some more, losing his footing. He slides headfirst down the roof. He slips off, ending up dangling in midair, gripping onto the guttering. He eyes the ladder, which leans against the roof about a metre away from him. Clark starts to edge his hands along the snow-filled gutter. It comes away from the roof and a huge icicle shoots through the sky, piercing the window of the Chester house and crashing into their state-of-the-art stereo. Clark falls into a bush. Ellen stumbles outside.
Clark, dinner's ready.
Okay, honey. Starving.
She looks at the talking bush a little puzzled, then turns and goes back inside. At the Chesters, Todd is inspecting his shattered stereo.
Well, obviously something had to break the window. Something had to hit the stereo.
He shakes his head. Looking out of the window, an immaculate Margot turns and walks over to join him.
And why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margot.
They share a look, then turn simultaneously to the broken window. Next door, everyone's out on the front lawn for the illuminations.
You want to hurry this up, Clark? I'm freezing my baguettes off. 250 strands of light, 100 individual bulbs per strand for a grand total of 25,000 imported Italian twinkle lights.
Hey!
25,000.
I hope nobody I know drives by and sees me standing in the yard staring at the house in my pajamas.
If they know your dad, they won't think anything of it.
Fire it up, Dad!
I dedicate this house to the Griswold family Christmas.
Oh. Clark looks upwards.
Drum roll, please.
Everyone looks blank.
Drum roll.
Everyone joins in.
Oh,
Clark plugs in the cable, but nothing happens. Clark's face falls. Frances laughs, a cocktail glass in her hand.
Beautiful, Clark.
I hope you kids see what a silly waste of resources this was.
You worked really hard, Grandma.
So do washing machines.
Clark is still struggling with the connection.
Let's get in where it's warm.
Clark, baby, I can picture it in my mind, and it's breathtaking.
Nora kisses her son on the cheek.
Mom?
It's probably a bad bulb, son, you know? If one goes out, the whole thing doesn't work. Now, if I were you, I'd personally check each one.
I did that, Dad. I can't...
Well, look, if you need any help, give me a holler. I'll be upstairs asleep.
Sorry, Danny. It looks good even if they're not lit.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Clark hugs his daughter. Ellen smiles fondly.
Well, Dad, it was a good try.
Thanks, Russ. Russ?
Yeah.
We checked every bowl, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Thought so. Maybe we ought to go up there and just get...
Oh, whoa, jeez, look at the time. I gotta get to bed. Brush my teeth, feed the hog, still got some homework to do. Do the laundry, wash the car, still got those bills to pay.
Clark, don't step too late.
As Clark stares up at the roof, Ellen kisses the tip of her finger, then presses it to the cleft in Clark's chin. Later, in Audrey's room, Clark Sr. reads a girl's magazine by torchlight as Nora snores beside him. Audrey shares a bed with her brother. He turns over and flings an arm across her.
Get off me, you little fungus.
She pushes him away and he steals all the covers. She tucks the covers back and turns her back to him. In her bed, Ellen sleeps alone. In Russ's room, Frances and Art are on bunk beds. Frances sleeps on the bottom wearing an eye mask. Art lies on the top, staring up at the ceiling. On the ceiling is a giant poster of a gorgeous brunette in a swimsuit. Outside, a huge full moon hangs in the sky as Clark up his ladder again checks the bulbs one by one. Morning. Clark, wearing his pajamas, creeps out onto the landing with a bag of presents. He looks around him, checking the coast is clear, then pulls on the chain which opens the loft hatch. The ladder slides down, hitting him in the face. Clark is knocked onto his back. Moments later, rubbing the bridge of his nose, he climbs the ladder up into the loft. He creeps tentatively across the loft, bag in hand, until he reaches some wooden panelling around the brick chimney. Taking a wrapped present out of the bag, he slides it into a hole in the wood panelling. Frowning, he finds a small gift wrapped in pink paper already in there. He takes it out and blows the dust off it. He looks at the card on the gift, which reads, Happy Mother's Day 1983, Love, Clark. Clark grins. Frances comes out of her room, rubbing her arms.
Where the hell is that gold coming from?
She looks up.
Oh!
She sees the loft ladder and starts to put it back up. Clark looks round in horror and drops the gift in his hands. He hurries over towards the loft hatch, which is now closed.
Hey!
Clark pulls at it.
Hey. Hello?
I need to get just a few more
gifts. Well, pay by check if you can.
I will. Not a card?
No.
Clark bangs on the hatch.
Russ!
Everyone's outside.
I know.
Is he in the house?
If he isn't up on the ladder fighting around his lights, he must be in the house.
I'm sure he wants to come shopping and have lunch with us.
He's got another car. He can drive. I have to eat so I can take my back pill.
Ellen tries to stay calm as everyone gets into the car. Meanwhile, Clark moves across the loft. He puts his foot on the end of a plank, which flips up and hits him in the nose. He turns, treading on another plank, which does the same thing. Befuddled, Clark staggers around, stepping on one of the planks yet again and getting another whack in the nose. Eventually, he manages to pick his way across the loft towards a round window. He bangs on it and it tilts open. Clark sticks his head out and watches the car reversing out of the drive.
Ellen! Hey! Ellen!
The car drives away along the street. A crestfallen Clark retreats back inside and crouches down, blowing on his hands. Clark looks around him and then tiptoes carefully over to an old suitcase. He opens it up and sorts through some old clothes until he finds a fur wrap, which he drapes over his shoulders. He blows on his hands again, rubbing them together. Suddenly he falls through the floor, his feet landing on the top bunk of Russ's bed. Teeth gritted, he exhales and looks down, rubbing his hands again, then holding them out as though they're over a fire. Clark, staying where he stands, turns to the suitcase and pulls out some long pink gloves. He slips them on, then delves in the suitcase once again, finding a marine blue turban, which he puts on his head. Also in the suitcase is a box of old home movie reels, which Clark picks up and excitedly looks through. One is labelled Xmas 59. Later, using an old projector, Clark sits watching one of the home movies, a tear glistening on his cheek. He watches the grainy images on a white piece of material which he's hung up like a projector screen.
Christmas is the time of year for being with the ones we love.
He smiles at himself as a little boy on a sled, his mother holding a bag of groceries pulls him.
What a wonderful feeling.
A sign is held up reading Xmas 1955.
Having so much fun.
Clark, as a little boy, comes out of the house with his blonde-haired mother. She waves at the camera and then they move closer to it and she kisses little Clark on the cheek. Clark smiles fondly, tears filling his eyes. He watches as his father opens the trunk of the car, revealing some large presents beautifully wrapped. As Clark tries to touch them, his father brushes his hand away. In the present, the family arrive home laden with gifts. Up in the loft, Clark is still watching the home movies, now on the makeshift screen a party. His mother serves canapés to guests and turns to Clark, who sits under the tree prodding presents. Clark stares at the images, his eyes glistening. Meanwhile, Ellen comes up the stairs carrying Christmas gifts. She reaches up, pulling on the chain, which opens the loft hatch. Sitting on the hatch, Clark falls straight through onto the landing. At home, wearing matching silver shell suits, the sweaty Chesters cross their living room. Margot drinks from a bottle of water.
I'm gonna take off his clothes, sit in the dark with a glass of wine, and kiss every square inch of your body.
After you shower, of course.
Of course.
Night. On the snowy front lawn outside his house, Clark is still trying to get the lights working. He blows on one of the plugs.
Sparky.
Yes, honey?
Draping a pale pink cardi around her shoulders, Ellen walks over to him.
Are you out here for a reason or are you just avoiding the family?
No. I still have a couple hundred more bulbs to check. In the meantime, I can light the Santa and the 8 tiny reindeer and the Merry Christmas sign. That should look good. Ready?
You want me to do the drum roll thing?
No, it's okay. Here goes nothing.
He pushes the plug into its socket. Nothing happens. Clark's face falls.
I don't understand it. The house lights don't work. The floodlights don't work.
Ellen pulls on a wire.
Is it plugged in?
Honey, do you honestly think I would check thousands of tiny little lights if I wasn't sure the extension cord was plugged in?
Ellen glances down, raising her eyebrows.
You used more than one cord, didn't you?
Clark throws down the wire in his hand.
Maybe the kids have been fooling around with it. I'll check them back.
Ellen examines the various wires as Clark goes to check on the connections at the back of the house. He takes a piece of paper out of his pocket. At home, the showered Chesters clink glasses of white wine, then share a kiss. Nora pops her head into the Griswolds' garage and flicks a switch. The Chesters are blinded by a bright light.
Clark?
Ellen lifts her hands. The lights are on.
Clark!
The house is carpeted in them.
Honey, I think I know what's wrong.
The Griswolds' house glows in the darkness. The electricity meter goes berserk. At the power plant, the auxiliary nuclear generator is put on. The Chesters flap about, unable to see. In the garage, Nora takes a gatto box out of the fridge, then heads out, turning off the light.
I can't see!
The Christmas lights go out, Margot stumbles, crashing into Todd, and they fall to the floor, smashing everything around them. Outside the Griswolds, Ellen's smile vanishes. She sighs, then strides purposefully across the lawn towards the house. Clark walks back round from the back.
This ought to do it.
He marches over to the plug and socket and slots them together. At the exact same time, Ellen flicks the switch in the garage. The Christmas lights come back on.
Oh! Ellen! I fixed it!
The Chesters are in agony. Margot bashes Todd.
Everybody come out quick! Look at the lights!
Grumbling, everyone in the Griswold house gathers their coats and scarves. In the garage, Ellen's toying with the many connections. At the Chesters...
Get a towel.
Ellen turns the switch off and the lights go out. Todd falls down the stairs.
Wait a minute. I don't believe it.
What's all the yelling about?
Art and Clark have come outside.
What's going on here?
Ellen comes back into the house and shrugs.
25,000 twinkle lights.
Everyone else is outside.
What's he doing, Clark?
I haven't the foggiest.
They watch as Clark frantically shakes the wires he holds, waving them about like a man possessed. He drops the wires and starts kicking out at the decorations on the lawn. He punches Santa in his sleigh, then kicks him through the air. He then karate chops the reindeer before charging back towards the plug and socket connection. Inside, an idea strikes Ellen. Just as Clark, teeth gritted, fits the plug and socket together, she turns on the switch in the garage and the trillions of lights come on again. Clark stares wide-eyed. Everyone steps off the doorstep onto the lawn to get a better look. Clark's face glows in the overpowering light. Ellen hurries out to her husband and gives him a hug. Russ and then Audrey join in. In her chaotic bedroom, Margot scrubs desperately at the floor. A dazed Todd shakes his head. Outside the Griswolds, Ellen looks proudly up at Clark. Nora gazes in wonder at the house. Clark puts his hands on her shoulders.
Oh, Clark, it's so lovely.
You deserve a home like this to spend Christmas in.
Beaming, Clark Sr. squeezes his son's arm.
It's a beaut, Clark, it's a beaut.
They share a hug.
You taught me everything I know about exterior illumination. Thank you. Russ, Audrey.
Clark gives his daughter a hug. He looks at his mother-in-law.
Dear Frances.
She stands stiffly as he hugs her.
I hope this adds to your enjoyment of the holidays.
Oh, it's just wonderful.
She eyes him nervously.
Arthur. Art.
He puts an arm around him.
Dad, thanks for being here.
Not a little lights are not twinkling.
I know, Arden. Thanks for noticing.
Clark approaches a couple standing nearby.
House sure does look swell, Clark.
Thanks, Eddie. I hope it enhances your holiday spirit. Dear Catherine. Eddie?
Oh, the house is gorgeous, Clark.
Eddie? I hope you didn't do this all on our account, Clark. Kids, come on out here and see what Uncle Clark's done to the house.
Eddie?
The door to a rusty mobile home park nearby opens and a Rottweiler runs out, followed by a chubby boy and a pretty little girl.
Eddie?
The kids run to their parents. Eddie.
Yeah, if you don't remember, this here is Rocky.
Have you got a kiss for me?
You better take a rain check on that, Art. He's got a lip fungus he ain't identified yet.
Art backs away. Ellen shuts her eyes. Catherine.
You remember Ruby Sue?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Frances stares.
Her eyes aren't crossed anymore.
That's something, ain't it? She falls in a well, eyes go cross. She gets kicked by a mule, they go back to normal. I don't know.
Clark looks uneasy.
And this here's our pride and joy, Snots.
The Rottweiler.
Pretty name, Ed.
Yeah, we named him that because he's got this sinus condition. Snots, you roll over and let Uncle Clark scratch your belly.
Russ wipes his hand.
You ain't never seen a set on a dog like this one's got, Clark.
That's okay, Eddie.
That's something, ain't it? You pet him, Clark, on the belly, and he'll love you till the day you die.
I really shouldn't. My hands are all chapped.
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
Yeah, you surprised?
Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Clark gives Ellen a look.
We have plenty of room.
Plenty of towels. Plenty of everything.
Ellen recalls as Eddie goes to kiss her.
Well, we're pretty well set up there in the RV. You know, it's a little tight, but we didn't come to impose.
Well, there's plenty of room. Means you're damn polite, Ed.
Well, you know, Catherine and I, we're pretty comfy in there. You know, but maybe you folks wouldn't mind the youngster shacking up with you. After that long drive, we could use a little private time together. Honey, why don't you run and get the kids' things and don't forget the rubber sheets and the turbo.
Come on, I want to show you the home. Come on.
Audrey. Ellen takes Audrey with her as Catherine shows them the mobile home. Everyone else makes their way into the house, except Clark, who looks down suspiciously at Snots, the snotty dog. He paws at Clark's leg, his face still stained with tears. Clark looks heavenwards. Later in the living room, the dog is nosing under the now brightly decorated tree as Clark and Eddie stand before it, drinking eggnog.
That's a honey of a tree, Clark. And real?
Yeah, I dug it out of the ground myself.
That a fact.
Hey, get out of there! Stop! No!
No, don't worry about it, Clark. Little tree water ain't gonna hurt him. Before we left, he drank a half a quart of Pennzoil. Boy, when he lifted his leg the next morning.
Whoa. Eddie, if he drinks the water out of there, the tree's going to dry up. Come on, out of there.
Snot.
Out.
You get out of there. No, get in the kitchen now. Get in the kitchen there and get you something to eat. Go on.
Snot goes.
He's cute, ain't he? Only problem is he's got a little bit of Mississippi leg hound in him. If the mood catches him right, he'll grab your leg and just go to town. You don't want him around if you wear short pants, if you know what I mean. A word of warning, though, if he does lay into you, it's best to just let him finish.
Eddie gulps his eggnog.
Just can't believe you're actually standing here in my living room, Eddie. Never thought the day would come.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, too. Yeah. It's a crying shame the older kids couldn't make it.
Eddie taps a decoration. It breaks.
I'll get that. Don't worry about it.
Eddie knocks back his eggnog from a reindeer cup.
Yeah, I got the daughter in the clinic getting cured off the wild turkey. And the older boy, bless his soul, is preparing for his career.
College?
Carnival.
You gotta be proud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last season he was a pixie dust spreader on a Celtic whirl. He thinks that maybe next year he'll be guessing people's waiter barking for the yak woman.
Clark mends the decoration, then breaks it again.
You ever see her?
No.
Yeah, she's got these big horns growing right out above her ear. Yeah, she's ugly as sin. But a sweet gal, and a hell of a good cook.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
No, I'm doing just fine, Clark. Just glad to be here.
Yeah. So, when did you get the tenement on wheels?
Oh, that's an RV. Yeah, I bartered off a buddy of mine. He took my house, I took the RV. It's a good-looking vehicle, ain't it?
Yeah, it's so nice parked in the driveway.
Yeah, it sure does. But don't you go falling in love with it now, because we're taking it with us when we leave here next month.
Clark spits out his eggnog. Another door is opened on the advent calendar. It's December the 18th. Clark edges into his boss's office with two packages.
We'll get Edlifting up here to look over these figures. Oh, retooling. That's a great excuse.
He hangs up.
Retooling? I'll retool you!
And again, then he writes something down.
Mr. Shirley, Merry Christmas.
Who's that?
It's me, Clark Griswold.
What do you want?
My wife and I came up with a little something special. It's a gift.
Put it over there with the others, Greaseball.
A nervous Clark turns, putting his gifts on a sideboard with numerous others.
Oh. By the way, I hope my report helped out at the trade show.
Mr. Shirley sits right down at the other end of an extremely long table.
I'm sure it did, Griswold. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm in the middle of an important call. Get me somebody. Anybody.
Clark smiles awkwardly and goes.
And get me somebody while I'm waiting.
Night. At the top of a slope, Clark, Eddie and the children, other families around them, are readying their sleds. Clark polishes the bottom of a metal saucer-like one.
This is a new non-caloric silicon-based kitchen lubricant. My company's been working on it. It creates a surface 500 times more slippery than any cooking oil. We're really going to fly down the hill with this stuff.
Has anyone ever used it on a sled?
Not that I know of, Russ.
Russ smiles. Eddie chuckles.
Well, don't go putting all that stuff on my sled, Clark. You know that metal plate in my head?
How could I forget?
I had to have it replaced because every time Catherine revved up the microwave, I'd piss my pants and forget who I was for a half hour or so. So over at the VA, they had to replace it with a plastic one, and it ain't as strong, so... I don't know if I ought to go sailing down no hill with nothing between the ground of my brain but a piece of government plastic.
You really think it matters, Eddie?
Well, see, the plate runs right underneath my part here. And these over here, it's, you know, nothing, but here, if this gets dented, then my hair just ain't gonna look right.
Clark looks steadily at Eddie.
I know the feeling. Well, I better try this first, see how it works.
Well, you be careful there, Clark.
Nothing to worry about, Eddie. Going for a new amateur recreational saucer sled land speed record, Clark W. Griswold, Jr. Remember, don't try this at home, kids. I am a professional.
Clark kneels down in his saucer sled and pulls up his fur-trimmed hood.
Later, dudes. Let her rip, hang pen.
Sparks and smoke fill the night air as Clark super speeds away. Clark whizzes down the slope, which is flanked by tall trees. His saucer sled spins round and round as it descends. Clark veers off through the trees.
Hey, hey, hey!
He hits some low-hanging branches caked in snow and gets a mouthful. He careers towards some snowdrifts and plows straight through them. Still kneeling on the speeding sled, Clark charges on down the slope, kicking up powdery snow as he goes. He zooms towards some people gathered near a wooden hut. He thunders through the open door of the hut and straight out through the back wall. Clark sleds on out of control. He hits a bump, flying through the air and landing with a jolt before skidding onto a main road. He speeds towards a bus, just managing to steer the sled round it at the last minute. Careering off the road and through a mound of snow, Clark sleds at a fast pace towards a Walmart store, crashing right into Santa's mailbox.
Bingo.
Another door is opened on the advent calendar. It's December 21st. Clark sits in his office with his feet up, toying with the diving board on a model swimming pool, when Bill comes in.
Clark, you staying late?
Oh, hi, Bill.
Yeah, just finishing up a few things. Last day of the year for me.
Well, have a really merry Christmas.
Bill gives him a cheesy grin.
You too.
Bill hesitates in the doorway.
You okay?
Yeah. Bill, did you get your bonus yet?
I just talked to my son. Company messenger brought something to the house. I guess that's it. Nothing like waiting to the last minute, huh? Did you get yours?
Clark shakes his head.
Well, if it isn't at the house, I'm sure it must be on its way.
I don't get that bonus. I'm...
pointing at the pool.
In it up to here.
Don't sweat it. It'll come. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Night. Back at home, Clark stands in the kitchen with a red robe over his pajamas, staring out into the darkness, grim-faced. He exhales, puffing out his cheeks. A smile creeps across his face as he imagines the sun shining and a large swimming pool in the back garden, his family playing happily in it. Dressed in their poolside finery, both sets of parents frolic at the poolside. Ellen dances joyfully with her mother. Eddie appears wearing flippers, his white vest tucked into his leopard print trunks. Drink in hand, he climbs onto the diving board and chucks a towel into the water. Clark's smile fades away. Eddie waves at Clark, who glances away, rolling his eyes. Eddie raises his drink, then has a swig. Clark imagines that Eddie is gone, and in his place, wearing a skimpy red swimsuit, is Mary, the sexy brunette from the underwear counter at the department store. Everyone else has disappeared. Clark's eyes widen, and Mary blows him a kiss. His mouth hangs open. She beckons for Clark to come to her, and he mouths me. Laughing, she tilts back her head, her long hair hanging down her back. Clark turns down his mouth playfully and shakes his head. Mary tantalizingly lowers one of the stringy straps of her costume. Clark almost starts to drool as she turns her back to him, lowering the other strap. She gazes at him lingeringly over her shoulder, then starts to take the costume off. Clark's eyes bulge as she reveals one of her curvaceous breasts, taking the costume right down to her hips. Soon the costume is at her feet and she kicks it away. It hits the window Clark is staring out of, his expression lustful. Little Ruby Sue comes downstairs clutching a teddy bear. Standing behind Clark, she sees him gripping the window frame as he stares out at his fantasy transfixed. His eyes are on stalks as the naked brunette starts to rise out of the water.
Santa Claus!
Clark whips round.
Uncle Clark, are you Santa Claus?
What? Oh. You scared me. No, I'm not Santa Claus.
Ruby Sue stares nervously at him. Clark looks away sadly.
Wish I was.
He pulls out a chair and sits down.
What are you doing up, sweetheart?
He pulls out another and Ruby Sue sits.
Rocky bit my thumb.
What?
Him's nervous because Christmas is almost here.
Nervous or excited?
You don't know if he's getting nothing.
I don't think you should be nervous, and you shouldn't be either. Because if you're good, Santa knows it. And if you believe in him, and you believe in your mom, and you believe in your dad, and if you've been good all year round, Santa Claus is going to bring you something.
Sometimes I think all that Santa crap's just bull. If he was so real, how come we didn't get squat last year?
Well, I happen to know for a fact that Santa Claus is real. And in the next couple of days, somehow I'm going to prove it to you. You know, every year he comes to our house, I've seen him.
It's true?
Cross my heart. So, it's a good idea you came to stay with us, isn't it?
I love it here. You don't got to put on your coat to go to the bathroom, and your house is always parked in the same place.
Clark looks moved. He sighs.
I think you better go back to bed now.
She starts to move.
Okay. How come you ain't sleeping?
He looks around him awkwardly.
Oh, I was just looking for something.
He looks across the room.
You didn't notice if a man came here and delivered a letter today, did you?
She closes an eye.
Nope. How come?
Just wondering.
She looks steadily at Clark's sad face with puppy dog eyes.
Now you get back to bed. Come here.
He gives her a hug, then she starts to go. She turns back.
Uncle Clark, are you sure you ain't Santa Claus?
I'm sure.
He looks rueful as she goes.
I can't even afford to be an elf.
Morning. Clark trots downstairs casually dressed, wearing slacks and American football shirt with a Native American on the front. He gives a big yawn. In the dining room, everyone else is already having breakfast. Ruby Sue and Rocky chase round the table. Art and Clark Sr. are on their feet, arguing. Clark frowns at the scene, then turns and walks across the hall, stopping by a window. Ellen hurries over to him, glancing back at the dining room.
Aren't you having any breakfast?
I'm not in the mood.
He looks back out the window.
What are you looking at?
She hugs him.
Oh, the silent majesty of a winter's morn, the clean, cool chill of the holiday air. Eddie? In his bathrobe, emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer.
Eddie, in a cropped bathrobe, runs a pipe from his UV into the sewer.
Shitter was full!
He doesn't know any better.
He ought to know it's illegal. It's a storm sewer. If it fills with gas, I pity the person who lights a match within 10 yards of it.
Eddie swings on a can of beer, a cigar between his fingers. As he empties his waste out of the pipe, he gets it everywhere. Next door, Todd comes out wearing shades and his jogging gear. He stretches a little, then starts to sniff the air. Eddie greets him.
Merry Christmas!
Todd turns and hurries back inside. From a pile of rubbish outside the house, Eddie picks up Clark's saucer sleigh, which now has a huge hole burnt in the bottom. Inside, Clark and Ellen sit quietly near the tree.
I have this terrible suspicion that Catherine and Eddie don't have any presents for their kids. Rocky said something about Eddie telling him that Santa Claus wasn't coming this year.
Yeah, Ruby Sue said something like that last night. How can they have nothing for their children?
Well, he's been out of work for close to 7 years.
In 7 years, he couldn't find a job?
Catherine says he's been holding out for a management position.
She gives Clark a meaningful look. He raises his brows. Later, Clark and Eddie are in a supermarket.
So how's the live bait business, Eddie?
Well, I can't complain. How you doing?
Not that good, actually.
Your company kill off all them people over in India not long ago?
No. You missed out on that one. You're pretty set so far as shopping goes?
Well, I can't lie to you, Clark. The truth is, things ain't going too good at all. You know, I told you I borrowed the RV from a neighbor. It's mine. We live in it. Had to sell off the house, the barn, the 10 acres. All I kept was a 50-foot plot, pigs, and the worm farm.
Eddie loads the trolley with dog food.
If only I had back the money that me and Catherine sent that TV preacher that was screwing the hockey players.
He piles more on, crushing light bulbs.
What about the kids?
Well, his kids can fend for themselves. I ain't
care. Your kids.
Oh, well, gee, I don't know what to do. We coasted into town on fumes, gas money, give out and gurney.
Eddie, Ellen and I want to help you give the kids a nice Christmas.
Clark, I couldn't do that.
No, we insist.
Oh, no, I'm not one for charity now.
Oh, I know that, Eddie. This isn't charity, it's family.
I don't know about that.
Now, come on. If you don't tell me what they want, I'll go out and get it on my own.
Eddie looks at Clark and smiling shakes his head.
Oh, boy. This is a surprise, Clark. This is just a real nice surprise. Just a real nice surprise.
Eddie hugs Clark, crushing him.
Here's a little list, alphabetical, starting with Catherine. And if it wouldn't be too much, I'd like to get something for you, Clark. Something really nice.
On the advent calendar, the large double doors at the centre are opened. It's Christmas Eve. Little Ruby Sue lights red candles on the mantelpiece. Clark escorts a tiny hunched-over old lady towards the front door. A wizened old man smoking a long cigar and Russ carrying presents follow behind.
Is your house on fire, Clark?
No, Bethany. Those are Christmas lights.
Don't throw me down, Clark.
I'll try not to, Aunt Bethany.
Is this the airport, Clark?
We're here. Hey, Grizz. Me and Bethany figured out the perfect gift for you.
Oh, Uncle Lewis, you didn't have to buy me anything.
Damn it, Bethany, he guessed it.
Oh, that was fun. I love riding in cars. When did you move to Florida?
Lewis's wig comes off with his hat.
Ellen, are you still dating Clark?
Oh, Aunt Bethany. You know, you shouldn't have done that.
Oh, dear. Did I break wind?
Did the room clear out, Bethany? Hell no, she means presents. You shouldn't have brought presents.
It isn't every day somebody moves into a new house.
They didn't move into a new house.
Mom?
In the living room, Russ.
He goes with the presents.
This house is bigger than your old one. Is Rusty still in the Navy?
Aunt Bethany, why don't you go with Francis and Catherine into the living room and say hello to everybody?
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody.
Mom?
What?
This box is meowing.
Let me see it.
Clark takes the present from Russ and gives it a good shake. Clark gives Ellen a look.
She wrapped up her damn cat.
Take it in the kitchen and open it up.
Then we'll have a cat running around the house.
You can't leave it in the box.
Why would somebody wrap up a cat in a box?
She gets confused, Rusty. She's old. She and Uncle Lewis don't have much money, so she takes things from around the house, wraps them up, gives them away as presents.
Great. Can't wait to see what I got.
Listen here, it's leaking.
Ellen prods a finger into the side of one of Aunt Bethany's other gifts. She gets something on it. Eddie licks it.
It's lime.
That would be her Jell-O mold. I'll take it, Eddie. Why don't you go back in the living room and enjoy yourself, Russ?
Come on, boy.
Eddie playfully punches towards Russ.
Let's go find your sister.
Russ goes with Eddie. The cat parcel jiggles. Later, everyone is sitting at the dining room table, which is laid with an array of food. Clark stands at the head of the table, preparing to carve the turkey. He looks around at all the happy faces and smiles to himself before tapping a glass with the carving knife. Everyone looks round.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh. Clark sits down.
What, dear?
Lewis shakes his head.
Grace! Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace.
Bethany shakes her head.
The blessing.
Lewis bares his teeth. Bethany bows her head, her hands clasped in prayer. Clark half smiles and closes his eyes in readiness, as do the others around the table. Rocky sits up straight with his eyes wide open. Catherine gives him a nudge, and he quickly closes them, lowering his head.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clark puts a hand over his heart.
Amen.
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 Eddie, who stood, sits again. Clark gets to his feet, ready to carve.
Catherine, this turkey tastes half as good as it looks. I think we're all in for a very big treat.
Catherine smiles coyly. Eddie playfully shoulders her.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
Okay, Eddie.
Ellen grimaces. Clark presses down on the bird and the skin cracks open, revealing a dry, empty cavity inside. Smoke puffs out of the cavernous bird. Ellen coughs. Catherine sobs.
Sorry.
Why are you crying?
I told you we put it in too early.
Oh, it's just a little dry. It's fine.
I told you.
Everyone looks unconvinced.
Here's the heart.
Later, they all tuck into the hard, dry meat. Clark chews exaggeratedly on a piece of turkey. In desperation, he pours oodles of gravy over his plate. Around the table, everyone hammers, chops, then tries to chew their turkey. Ellen puts a bit on her fork, then flicks it away before licking her lips. Frances removes a long hair from her plate. Helping himself to mashed swede, Eddie takes a mouthful from the serving spoon. Ruby, Sue, Russ and Rocky have a food fight. Bethany's fluffy white cat starts to play with the lights on the tree. At the table, Clark chews on another mouthful. His lips form an O as he tastes something unpleasant. He quickly gulps down some water. On his plate, a green jelly. Clark looks up.
Aunt Bethany, does your cat by any chance eat Jell-O?
Bethany looks blank.
I don't know about the cat, but I sure am enjoying it.
In the living room, the cat is chewing the Christmas tree lights. Clark inadvertently wipes his mouth with his tie, then dabs the tie with his napkin.
Hey, kids. I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sled on its way in from New York.
Rocky looks excitedly at Ruby Sue. Eddie furrows his brow.
You serious, Clark?
Clark's eyes widen and he looks down.
Art, you want to load me up with a little more there? It is good.
The whole table starts to shake. Clark peers underneath it.
Ed?
Hey, Clark?
What's wrong with the dog?
Oh, he's just yakking on a bone. He got it up. He's all right now.
Maybe if you wouldn't feed him from the table.
Eddie looks round at Clark.
No. He's probably just nosing through the trash.
In the kitchen, the contents of the bin have been emptied all over the floor. On their hands and knees, wearing rubber gloves, Clark and Ellen clear it up.
Hey, Grizz! You're not doing anything constructive. Run into the living room, get my stogie.
Clark looks at Ellen.
Is there anything else I can do for you, Uncle Lewis?
He's an old man. This may be his last Christmas.
If you put up, it will be his last Christmas.
In the living room, the cat is dragging the white Christmas tree lights towards an armchair. He pulls the plug out of the socket and the lights go out. Picking something up off a table, Clark stares at the tree and frowns. He walks over to the tree, adjusts some decorations, then wanders behind it. He sees two plugs pulled out at the socket and kneels down beside them. He lifts one plug and looks at it, then plugs it back in. Multicoloured lights on the tree illuminate. Clark smiles, then picks up the second plug. He eyes it, then slips it into the socket. There's a surge of energy, a burst of light from under the armchair, and all the lights go out.
Honey?
Russ holds a lighter up to the fuse box. He flicks a switch and the lights come on. In the living room, the bottom of the armchair is burnt and smoke wafts out from under it.
I told you had too many plugs in one outlet.
Oh, God.
There's a cat-shaped burn mark on the floor.
What is it?
Ellen hurries over to Lewis and her father.
Nothing. Let's go in and finish our dessert.
She ushers them out. Eddie.
That thing had 9 lives. She just spent them all.
Clark looks incredulous.
Woo!
Eddie and Clark carry the scorched chair outside.
If you don't mind, Clark, I'd like to see if I can fumigate this here chair. It's a good quality item.
They put it down.
If you don't mind, me asking how much it set you back.
You smell something?
Eddie glances around.
Fried pussycat.
It's not the chair. It's some kind of gas coming from the sewer.
A lurid green fluid bubbles under the drain. Clark goes back inside. Ellen looks at him with concern. Clark lays his napkin on his lap. In the living room, Lewis, his curly grey toupee perched on his head, wanders over to the tree with a long unlit cigar in his mouth. Clark smiles at his parents, who are canoodling. Lewis lights his cigar. Suddenly, flames burst across the living room, then disappear. Hearing something, Clark looks round from his seat at the dining room table. Ellen also turns. Clark shrugs, then goes through to the adjoining living room. The tree is burnt to a crisp, only its scorched branches remaining.
Lewis?
Clark stares in horror.
My tree!
Lewis puffs on his cigar.
So what's the matter with you?
Look what you've done to my tree!
Lewis turns to look. He's on fire.
Lewis?
Panicking, Clark pulls down a curtain and wraps Lewis in it, knocking him to the ground and patting his hands desperately over the old man's back. Later, Art contemplates the ruined tree. A singed Santa falls to the ground.
It is an ugly tree anyway.
At least it's out of its misery.
That's gonna flip out,
no,
right?
No, nobody's gonna flip out. We're gonna have a wonderful Christmas.
Clark opens the door. The knocker and wreath come off in a young man's hand.
What the hell do you want?
I have a delivery for Clark W. Grisman. I was supposed to deliver it yesterday, but it fell between the seats. I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
He hands Clark an envelope. Staring at it, Clark closes the door.
Merry Christmas.
Clark's transfixed.
Merry Christmas.
The family stand watching Clark with serious expressions.
I can't believe it.
What is it? A letter confirming your reservation at the Nut House?
It's from my company.
Your bonus.
My bonus.
Ellen and Audrey give Clark a hug. Nora looks proudly at her son.
Open it, Clarky. Open it.
Yeah, I hope it's a fortune, Clark.
That you do, Eddie.
Overcome, Clark hugs Ellen again.
Oh,
I was afraid.
Are you going to bawl all over it, or are you going to open it?
Oh, I was going to wait till tomorrow to tell you all this, but what the heck? With this bonus check, I'm putting in a swimming pool.
Ellen bounces gleefully into Clark's arms.
That's it. That's the big one.
Open it.
I'm sorry if I've been a little short with everyone lately. I've been waiting for this bonus. To make sure the pool goes in as soon as the ground thaws, I had to lay out the money in advance. And until this little miracle arrived, I didn't have enough in my account to cover the check I wrote.
Tear the sucker open, Dad.
Yeah.
Drum roll.
Clark opens the envelope and takes out the check, pressing it to his chest without looking at it.
There's enough left over. I'm going to fly you all down here to help us dedicate it.
Audrey doesn't look impressed.
I can't swim, Clark.
Clark squeezes Eddie's shoulder.
I know that, Eddie.
Clark reads the check as the others look on expectantly. Clark fixes a grin on his face and walks through the mall. His smile fades.
Clark, what's wrong? Honey? It's bigger than you expected?
Clark shakes his head. He stares at the check, his expression manic.
Smaller?
He shakes his head again.
What is it?
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Ellen tries to comfort Clark.
That it is, Edward. That it is indeed.
I'm sorry, Clark.
This isn't the biggest bag over the head punch in the face I ever got.
He kicks the presents.
Son.
Clark pulls away from his father. He rips up the gift check and then fills a cup from the bowl of eggnog and gulps it back in one. He refills the cup. Smiling, he takes a glug.
Hey! If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass he is! Hallelujah! Where's the Tylenol?
Later, the rusty old UV pulls out of the Griswold's drive and speeds away. The burnt Christmas tree is now with the other rubbish outside the house. Clark comes out of the carriage with his chainsaw.
He's got that crazed look in his eye.
I told you we should have gone away. Turn that thing off and get in the house!
I'll talk to him.
Ellen stomps inside. Russ approaches his crazed-looking father.
Nolan! I'm a thinking!
Clark glares at Russ.
Good talk, man.
Russ backs away. Clark steps up to a snow-carpeted pine tree. The Chesters are eating a minimalist supper.
Aren't you just the teeniest bit sorry we didn't get a Christmas tree? I mean, even though they're dirty and messy and corny and cliched.
Well, where are you going to find a tree at this hour on Christmas Eve?
The tree crashes through their dining room window. The couple stare as it's dragged away. Later, Clark, dressed as Santa, less the beard, is in his bathroom washing his hands. Ellen comes in and glares at him, arms folded.
What's the matter?
Was that really necessary?
He shrugs.
We needed a tree.
May I remind you that...
But this was all my idea, no?
No, no. I'm well aware of that, honey.
Well, could you just keep it in mind the next time you go berserk?
Didn't go berserk. Simply solve the problem. We needed a coffin. A tree. There are no lots open on Christmas Eve. Lewis burned down my tree, so I replaced it as best I could. Voila.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, honey.
He kisses her on the cheek and saunters away, chainsaw in hand. Worried, she stares after him. Clark stops at the top of the stairs and wobbles the block of shaped wood at the top of the right-hand banister. He starts up the chainsaw and slices it off. It topples off. Clark looks satisfied.
Fix the null post!
Later, still wearing a red Santa jacket and hat with bells around the white fur trim, Clark puts presents under the new tree. He picks up a torn package, takes out a bra and tosses it to one side. Knitting in an armchair, Bethany furrows her wrinkled brow.
What's that sound?
Reading a story together, Ruby, Sue and Clark Sr. look up. Sleeping with a cigar in his mouth, Lewis stirs. Clark drapes some lacy knickers on the tree. Clark and the others look up, hearing something. The dog, surrounded by torn newspaper, lifts his head. Clark moves his head nearer the tree. A puzzled Ellen looks round at Catherine. Bethany leans forward in her chair.
Do you hear it? It's a funny, squeaky sound.
You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
Shh. I hear it too.
Everyone waits expectantly as Clark peers amongst the branches of the tree. He shrugs, turning down his mouth.
Don't hear it anymore.
Clark peers deeper into the branches, his eyes narrowed. Suddenly his eyes widen. A squirrel appears. It leaps out across the room towards the coffee table around which everyone sits. It lands on the tabletop and rears up. Nora stands up on the sofa, then leaps off, fainting as the squirrel runs towards her. Most of the family races out into the hall and cowers behind a wall.
Quiet! Shut up!
Bethany knitting and Lewis dozing remain happily in their seats. Nora's still lying on the carpet. She lifts her head as the squirrel scampers past.
Shh!
Clark looks terrified.
Mom, don't move.
She's motionless, face down on the floor.
We can't let it get out of the living room.
Clark looks around him.
Where's Eddie? He usually eats these things.
Oh, not recently, Clarky. Read the squirrels were high in cholesterol.
Thank you, Catherine. I'll try and trap it. Russ!
Right here, Dad.
Oh, there you are. Go get the hammer.
Clark, what do you need a hammer for?
I'm going to catch it in the coat. Smack it with a hammer.
Ruby Sue screams. Francis faints. Clark looks a little awkward. Clark Sr. steps forward.
I'm going in with him.
Clark holds his red Santa jacket out like a matador's cape.
Nora?
His father's with him.
Nora.
She lifts her head.
Is he gone?
Probably got scared and ran back into the tree.
Nora stands. Clark and his father flee. Nora stumbles, falling onto the sofa. Lewis and Bethany are oblivious as everyone else races up the stairs. The dog crashes through the utility room door where he's locked up and thunders up the stairs after them. Everyone charges back down the stairs and into the living room, hiding behind the tree. The squirrel bounds down the stairs and into the dining room. The dog chases it under the table, knocking over a chair, then leaps onto the tabletop in hot pursuit of the tiny creature. The squirrel's on the dresser displaying plates. The dog jumps up to get it, knocking the dresser over. Everyone watches from the safety of the living room. The Chesters stand outside their broken window.
You just march right over there and slug that creep in the face.
I can't just attack someone.
All right then, if you're not man enough, then I am.
Margot stomps towards the Griswolds' house. She adjusts her skirt as she reaches the front door. Clark opens the closed door he's standing at and finds the squirrel scampering towards him. He runs for the front door, opening it. Margot screams as the squirrel lunges at her neck, followed by the dog, which knocks her over.
Gone.
Todd sits in his immaculate living room reading. He looks up.
My God.
Margot hobbles in, her clothes torn. Todd stands.
What happened to you?
She punches him hard in the face, knocking him back over the sofa, which topples. At the Griswolds, the house is in disarray. Clark is inspecting the damage. There are two cases in the hallway. Art and Francis have their coats on.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny Kaye.
You're goofy.
Clark, it's over.
Not according to Santa's watch, it isn't.
Now, come on, son.
Stay out of this, Dad.
Clark, I think it's best if everyone just goes home before things get worse.
Worse? How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell.
Eddie's UV pulls away from outside a grand white house. At home in the utility room, Clark gets a glass of water from a water cooler. His father tentatively enters the chaotic room.
Son, I love you. We all love you. This is a terrible night. Nothing's gone right. It's a disaster. But you losing your temper with the whole family only makes things worse. And you're too good a father to act like this. Years to come, you want your children and your family to remember all the love you gave us and how hard you tried to make the perfect Christmas.
I just...
It's okay. It happens.
All our holidays are always such a mess.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get through it?
I had a lot of help from Jack Daniels.
Father and son share a hug. Clark spills water on him.
I love you.
Clark Sr. starts to go.
Dad?
Yeah?
Are you going to recite The Night Before Christmas?
No. It's your house. It's your Christmas. I'm retiring.
Later in front of the fire.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh?
He looks round.
And Eddie, with a man in his pajamas and a dog chain tied to his wrists and ankles. What the?
Eddie's got Shirley tied up with a big red ribbon.
Stay here.
Eddie kicks his prisoner's bottom. Clark stands up. Eddie comes in with a bound and gagged Mr. Shirley.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, Clark!
Clark frowns.
You better ready to do some kissing,
On the phone at the Grand White House.
Yes, officer, it seems my husband's been abducted. The man was wearing a blue leisure suit, and the plates were from Kansas. He was a huge, beastly, bulging man. And
I have never been treated like this in my life.
I'm sorry, this is our family's first kidnapping.
You're fired! Where's the phone? I'm calling the police.
Just hold your wad there, fella. Clark had nothing to do with this. This here was my idea.
All right, he's still fired, and you are going to jail.
Oh, no, Eddie, it was my fault. I lost my temper when I got my bonus, and I guess I said a few things I shouldn't have.
Bonus? How did you get a bonus? I cut out bonuses this year.
Yeah, and thanks for telling us. I was expecting a check. Instead, I got enrolled in a jelly club. 17 years with the company. I've gotten a Christmas bonus every year but this one. If you don't want to give bonuses, fine. But when people count on them as part of their salary, what you did is just plain...
sucks.
Russ nods emphatically.
Thank you, Russ.
Clark turns reluctantly to Mr. Shirley.
My cousin-in-law, whose heart is bigger than his brain...
I appreciate that, Clark.
...is innocent. I'll be more than happy to take the rap on this. On behalf of myself and on behalf of every other employee you rear-ended this Christmas.
Mr. Shirley looks around him a little guiltily. Art stands up, tight-lipped. Nora and Clark Sr. grip hands, their eyes on Shirley. Russ stares steadily at his father's mustachioed boss. Audrey looks down, sickened. Rocky's chubby face is glum. Shirley swallows, looking uneasy under their collective gaze.
Look, sometimes things look good on paper, but lose their luster when you see how it affects real folks. I guess a healthy bottom line doesn't mean much if to get it you have to hurt the ones you depend on. It's people that make the difference. Little people like you.
Clark nods appreciatively.
So, Carl, whatever you got last year, add 20%.
Clark's eyes bulge and he faints. Several squad cars, their red and blue lights flashing, pull up hastily outside the Griswolds. Armed officers get out and run towards the house, their heads down, some take cover behind a tree. Inside, the family help Clark to his feet and congratulate him. He gets a kiss from his mother, then hugs his father, kissing his bald pate. An ecstatic Clark kisses Ellen, then Frances, cringing a little as he does so. Meanwhile, police get into position on the roof. Margot lies on her sofa, a flannel over her eyes. There's a knock at the door.
Go away, Todd.
The door's kicked in and two armed officers enter. Outside the Griswolds, cops edge their way towards the front door. Inside, the family is still celebrating. Clark raises his hands.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night!
On a commando rope, one of the cops swings through a living room window, knocking over the tree. Others swing down from the roof and in through the windows. An armed officer appears in the hallway, his gun raised.
Oh
Freeze!
The officer looks at his men who have stopped in their tracks.
Not you, them!
His team of armed men move in until the family, standing in a huddle in the living room, are surrounded. Outside in a police car, the glamorous Mrs. Shirley, wearing a white fur coat, checks her lipstick.
This way, please.
An officer escorts her towards the house. Inside...
I think you've made a terrible mistake.
I told you to freeze, mister.
Maybe blink?
Mrs. Shirley comes in with the cop and looks around.
Frank.
Helen!
Oh, thank God, you're all right.
Oh, I'm fine, I'm just fine. There was a big misunderstanding tonight.
Excuse me. Would you and Mrs. Shirley like to step outside so we can take care of a little bit of business here?
Oh, there's no business. I'm not pressing any charges.
What?
It was a mistake.
Mistake? Frank, honey, you were kidnapped.
I did something I shouldn't have, and these people called me on it. This is Clark Griswold and his family.
Welcome to our home.
Ellen shakes Helen's hand.
Release B-Squad.
What's going on here?
Remember how I was toying with the notion of suspending the Christmas bonuses?
You didn't. Well, of all the cheap, lousy ways to save a buck.
That's pretty low, mister. If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you in 2 minutes.
I changed my mind. I'm reinstating all the bonuses.
Look!
Ruby Sue and Rocky look out of a window. They run outside. Everyone follows them out.
Look!
A swathe of red light hangs in the starry night sky. It melts away.
It's Santa Claus!
What? What's wrong? Clark,
it's Santa Claus!
No. It's the Christmas star. And that's all that matters tonight. Not bonuses or gifts or turkeys or trees. See, kids... It means something different to everybody.
Clark stares wonderingly at the heavens.
Now I know what it means to me.
Lewis lights his cigar.
That ain't the friggin' Christmas star, Grizz. It's a lighter in the sewage treatment plant.
Sewer gas?
Lewis moves to toss away his match.
Don't drop that!
He does, and a huge explosion sends Lewis flying and knocks the others off their feet. Clark's discarded Santa and sleigh shoots upwards. As everyone stands up, Bethany appears in the doorway. What looks like a dazzling bright red and white shooting star flies across the heavens.
Through the night that our flag was still there.
Clark, his bedraggled family, and the police officers all stand staring upwards, their hands held to their hearts. Clark's discarded Santa and sleigh flies in front of the moon, leaving a burning trail in its wake. Later inside, everyone dances and sings. Still standing out on the front lawn, Ellen and Clark stand side by side. Ellen looks lovingly at her husband.
Merry Christmas, Sparky.
She kisses him.
Merry Christmas.
She starts to go.
Come here.
He pulls her back and they kiss passionately. As they pull apart, she gazes up at him, putting her finger affectionately in the cleft of his chin, before turning and walking away. Clark stares after her, then looks back up at the sky.
I did it.
The end. ITFC audio description by Amy Dallara Beattie.